Hello, welcome to the preview of the lesson on modals. I begin this lesson by asking students to name the modals, and they should list these: should, must, might, may, shall, will, would, can, and could. So there are nine. Modals work in this way. The modal is followed by a bare infinitive, that is, the infinitive without to. So we have should go and not should to go. There are also things called semimodals, and you may have generated these in your list of modals by mistake. Well, sometimes they are modals and sometimes they are not. So with need, I need to go is not a modal because it involves to. Need I go is a little bit old-fashioned, but it is correct, a way of asking a question. And there is no to, so it is a modal. You are perhaps more likely to say, I don't need to go, which is non-modal because there's a to. So sometimes it's a modal, sometimes it's not a modal. Other examples, ought to and have got to. So why are modals important? Why am I teaching grammar of modals and not something else? Well, firstly, they're very common. We see these all the time in spoken English and written English. Secondly, I would say they're even more common in academic English because they feature very prominently in cautious language or hedging. This is a particular feature of academic English in most subjects, particularly in conclusions. So see my workshop on conclusions and discussions. Also, students make a lot of mistakes, but the good news is that you can improve dramatically. Reason number four, well, I'm going to give a quote. Readers regard errors that interfere with understanding more gravely, in other words, more seriously, than those which, while wrong, are superficial in effect. Thus, the omission of s from the third person singular present simple tense is treated as a less serious matter than a misuse of modal verbs, must instead of should, for instance. So, in other words, if you say you must go rather than you should go, then it gives a different meaning. If you say he go rather than he goes, then, well, it's not very good, but I think everybody will understand what you mean. So modals have the potential to completely change the meaning of what you're saying. That is their function. They modify the meaning of a main verb. So, which modals are most common in general English? This is the list. I don't have a list of the most common modals in academic English, but I think it would be quite similar to this. Would, can, could, and will would certainly feature very strongly. Shall is a little bit old-fashioned, and I would only really use that in questions. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? But I wouldn't tend to use that very often in academic English, I don't think. Also, must is the opposite of hedging. It's very strong language, and that wouldn't be used very often either. So I think that this is a fairly good reflection of academic English. Yeah, okay, so modals are not the be-all and end-all. We can achieve the same result in another way. Modality is an abstract noun just expressing what modals do. So it's the process here of changing the meaning of a main verb. So we can have the same effect in other ways using adverbs, adjectives, participles, and lexical verbs. Conditionals. This lesson is not mainly focused on conditionals, but it's highly related to modals because modals are the foundation, or one of the foundations, of conditionals. So if we go through them, zero conditional talks about general truths. For example, if the temperature falls below 0 Celsius, water freezes. Notice that we have present tense and present tense. First conditional, if I leave Cambridge, I will be sat. Leave is in the present, and we're using will, a modal. So the first conditional here describes something in the future, which is a real possibility. It's not imaginary, it's not hypothetical, it's a real likely possibility in the future. In contrast, the second conditional, if I left Cambridge, I would be sad, it's still talking about the present or the future, but it's much less likely. It's more hypothetical, it's more imaginary. Note that leave becomes left, past tense, and will becomes would, which is a more imaginary version of will. I'll come back to this a little later. Third conditional, if I had left Cambridge, I would have been sad. Well, leave, left, had left, this is past perfect, and then would have been sad. The third conditional is talking about an imaginary event in the past. We can change these to make mixed conditionals partly by adding other modals, as we will see later. So task number one, that takes us away from PowerPoint and towards Microsoft Word. Okay, so this is task number one. On this grid, you will notice that I have 8 of the 9 modals. I have all of them except shall. And I've added the negatives because it's the positive or the negative modal. At the head of these rows are the functions that the modals might have. So likelihood and probability, I guess we could also say prediction within that meaning. And then ability, whether you are able to do something. Permission, prohibition. I guess prohibition is saying when something is forbidden, and it is the opposite of permission. And then lastly, we have obligation or duty. Notice that the next page is the answers, but I recommend that you go through this first and tick where you think this modal has this function and put a cross if you think it does not. So a tick, or as Americans say, a check, or a cross if you think that it doesn't have that function. These are the answers. For the first exercise, it is not an easy exercise. I realize that. It is not easy because it is abstract. This next exercise should be a lot easier. Here I give a list of examples of different uses of modals in general English, and I ask you to place those in the answers for the first exercise, task number one. So use my answers, not your answers, and only put an answer where I have put a tick, not where I put a cross, because the answer does not exist for there. So put, if you think A belongs here, then write an A in this space. And again, the answers come afterwards. Okay, I need to go back to PowerPoint to make one or two comments about that last exercise. Okay, so here I've highlighted one of the interesting features of this table. Note that the function of likelihood or probability, or I guess we could say prediction, can apply to all of these modals. It doesn't mean that they have exactly the same meaning. There will be subtle differences in meaning which you have to learn. But this is one of the main sources of confusion. Also, notice that there's a big overlap between will and would. So when we're discussing likelihood or probability, This is an area where students make a lot of mistakes. Now, sometimes would is effectively the past of will. Yesterday, I asked my friend whether he would lend me £5, and he said he would. That is in the past. The actual words that we used were, "Dave, will you lend me £5?" And he said, "Yes, I will." So when we're putting something into reported speech, we effectively change the tense or the time reference and put it into the past. So would can be the past of will. Would in other circumstances, though, can be a more imaginary version of will. If I won the lottery, I would retire tomorrow. It is not very likely. Similarly, let's look at can and could. Well, we see that they actually overlap for a lot of different meanings here. But just as we've seen for will and would, can and could can have two different meanings. So sometimes could is the past of can. When I was at school, I could speak French really well. Now I can't. So could is effectively the past of can. Could, in some circumstances, though, is a more imaginary version of can. For example, I live in Cambridge, so I can go to London whenever I want. This implies that I do go to London. I could also go to Peterborough, but I don't. So could indicates their, I guess, ability, but it indicates something that's much less likely or more hypothetical, more imaginary. So can and could, will and would are two sources of frequent mistakes. Okay, language analysis. Let's move back to Word. If you look on the first document, all handouts, then you see that there are some examples here of student writing. Now, I need to give a little bit of context about where these came from. The students who wrote these extracts were on a pre-sessional course. Not this year, but several years ago. Many years ago, in fact. Some of them were extracts from the students' essays about their particular subject. Some of them were extracts from the tests that students did at the beginning of the pre-sessional course. So these students are not in their own country thinking about what it might be like to come to Cambridge and do the pre-sessional course. They are already here, and they have started the course, and they are doing a test on day one or day two of the course. So they are here, and they have started. That is important background to bear in mind. So I think that there are 12 examples on this handout. If we go to the other document, the other Word document in this folder, then I give detailed written feedback for all of these examples. So please go through them yourself first, and then go through my written feedback.